The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
If I walk through a hard circumstance, I can either let how I feel about that be the plumb line, or I can let the Word of God be the plumb line.
Next, Women of Faith speaker Sheila Walsh searches Scripture for what God has promised us.
So often we worry about our Christian life, we worry about this, we're so preoccupied with getting it right. It's the shepherd's job, and it's our job just stay close to his heart, and he will get you home.
The Shelter of God's Promises, next.
Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to share with you. I'm James Robinson Beatty, and I have Sheila Walsh back with us talking about the shelter of God's promises. This is fabulous stuff. Now, I want to say something to you about how I am asking God to enable me to communicate with all the viewers of this program all over the world to actually join with Betty and me in earnest prayer, focused prayer, and I've said this many times, focusing prayer in a specific way for a purpose is like forcing the power of a river through a turbine. You can create enough energy to light up a city. I'm asking you to pray for all of us as believers and really beginning with church leaders to become an answer to the prayer of Jesus that we be one, not the same, but with all of our difference and distinctives, all of the uniqueness, that we actually become one with the Father as Jesus is, and then that we as believers, which Jesus and the Scripture refers to as His body, be perfected in unity. And that as Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians, that we seek diligently to preserve the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. This is the unity of the Spirit in the one accord atmosphere when the power of Pentecost came that you read about in Acts. And that New Testament church looked like the body of Christ. That's why they called them Christians. They looked like Christ, not like denominational, but Christ. Regardless of the other labels or division groups, we can still be one. Now, I just want to say this to you. You have helped us, those of you who watch us. You can't watch us very long and not understand the importance of living beyond your world to make a difference in the world for the glory of God. In other words, make a difference in somebody else's world. We're going to ask you to help us feed 500,000 children in desperate need right now. We're going to ask you to do that, to help the few. So we'll always be asking you to do that. But here's what I'm asking you to also do, to focus your prayer on this oneness. And we're bringing leaders together. And we're seeing this happen. And I want you to pray for America, this nation, that we can be a blessing to other nations. And we really need a return to God. We really need an awakening, and it needs to begin with the church. And so I'm going to be focusing on that. And if we don't see this, we're not going to be able to deal with poverty and pain and suffering, which is on God's heart. It's on our heart. I know it's on your heart. So just asking you to join us in that prayer. Welcome, Sheila Walsh. Sheila, so glad you're here.
Thanks. I love that. I love what you just said.
You have been around the church and religious people and Christians. And you've been around leaders. And would you agree that the lack of spiritual unity, which obviously Jesus thought was so important, that in his last prayer, he prayed for it and then referenced the unity. He's talking to God about us, and he's talking about very real possibilities. Do you agree that this is a serious issue and we need to see a unity in the family of God? That's what he prayed for, that really most of us have never even seen, even in small relationships.
I think it's the critical issue. I really do. And I get the privilege with Women of Faith of traveling from coast to coast, and now we're doing some international things too. And I think there's nothing that would confound the world more with the compelling love of Christ than if those who claim to love him loved one another. And it's, you said to me earlier, Betty, it's not that we're all the same. We're not. That's fabulous. God is a creative God. He's made us very different. But if we were one in purpose, the fact, knowing that you feel so strongly about this. I was reading it through again today, and when Jesus said in John 13, a new command I give you, the word he used there didn't mean different, or it means the opposite of outworn. Here's how things used to work. This is not going to work anymore. A new commandment I give you.
Absolutely.
Love one, because he knew it was the only way to fulfill the Great Commission, if we would stand together. Because if you think about it, think about just even, we happen to be filming here from Texas. Think about if just the churches in Texas stood shoulder by shoulder or knelt side by side.
Absolutely.
Then problems like world hunger and child slavery
absolutely.
And all those issues.
An out of control government.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely bringing us back to the very dominant system under Pharaoh that the people of God wanted out from under. And it was what they asked for. They sold themselves into this. They set themselves up for it. And they're the ones that put the kings in place mm-hmm. that were not what they needed. They needed God yeah. to be his kingdom purpose. He started that all the way through the Genesis. Listen, it is possible for this to happen. Now, when I read your book here, and I read about the shelter of the Almighty, I perceive that we are walking under the same covering of the mm-hmm. shadow and the shelter of the Almighty. And I'm telling you, when I ask our viewers to pray for us, do you think I am encouraging them to pray right? You are a woman that has been associated, let's say, with a lot of outreaches, and you have been mightily blessed of God, and you have been through some very difficult times. Am I right in calling our people to prayer and focus to get the church healthy in answer to the prayer of Jesus?
It's the only way to live. And that's why I've moved my focus in writing from just writing a book and a story to Bible study. Because, I mean, David said it clearly, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So in other words, your word's going to show me where to take the next step. Your word's going to cast some light on where we're going. And it's not like we have to find some new formula. If we go back to reading God's word and what his promise is, over 3,000 promises in God's word. And yet the interesting thing, the two words in the Old Testament that we translate as promises are Omer and Debar. They mean to say and to speak. God didn't have to promise. All God had to do was to say or to speak. We had to come up with the word promise, because when we say something now, it doesn't mean as much.
Wow.
We have so devalued. Mm-hmm. But the words, whenever it's God speaking, all it means is God said, and that's as good as it gets. Mm-hmm. God is not man that he should lie.
And he said he is light, and we are to be light. And you just referenced it. Light not only exposes the error of our way, we got a lot of people who can point out all that's wrong. Everything wrong. All of this is wrong. And there is a lot wrong. And there's no question about it. But the light also points you in the way. And boy, our national leaders and our church leaders and our business leaders and our home leaders, they all need to know not only what's wrong, they need to be able to see what's right. And that's precisely what you were talking about. I think it's what you talk about in your book. So I want to go to some of the points that you make in the chapters. This is fabulous. This woman, I just praise. By the way, out here in the audience is her husband, Barry. And out here in the audience is her teenage son, Christian. Hi, Christian. Hi, Barry. Really glad to see you. Years ago, how old are you now, Christian?
14.
14 years old. You came right out of that audience years ago when you were pretty little. I think maybe about 8 years old. And you came walking down here with a bag of money. He had been saving the money to
help us. He'd been saving it for months.
To feed the hungry children.
To buy soup bowls for children.
Just like this. And to give them the food, which is what we're doing right now. Christian, it's amazing because you didn't know we were going to be talking about this when you said, I'm coming over. Mom's going to be there.
And I said to him, let me turn all this huge money pile into dollars for you. He said, no, Mom, this is what I saved. I'm taking this.
And he did. And he brought it. And he brought it to help us feed the children all over the world. And I want to thank you for that. Would y'all just say thanks to Christian? And Barry, we're glad to have you. Well, welcome to you for being here with us. I want to go too. Go ahead. You would maybe
that's
want to
what I love. That. That to me is the kingdom of God.
Mm. It
doesn't matter whether you're 10 or 90.
No.
It's
no,
a question of.
Isn't.
I mean, I've told you this before, but every morning when I get up, the very first words out of my mouth are, "Good morning, Father. I don't know where you're going today, but wherever you're going, I am coming with you."
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because do you know it's? And this to me is comfort to you. Do you know Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd? Do you know it's not the sheep's job to get themselves home? So often we worry about our Christian life, we worry about this, we're so preoccupied with getting it right. It's the shepherd's job. In Israel, you'll never see a shepherd come behind the sheep. In Israel, the shepherd always goes ahead of
there
the sheep
we go.
And leads them home. And it's our job, just stay close to his heart and he will get you home. And we get to live in this world now, but with the love of God inside us, so that whether we're in the nail salon or whether we're at school, we get to share the kingdom of God.
Mom, what do you do? And I call her Mom. She calls me Dad. My kids call me Dad. But what, you sitting here watching me, you know, when Beth was here and in this series that we did, God's Kingdom in You, which is available on, she said, James, it's like trying to lasso the wind to get on the way. What do you think when you say, and I just can't help but this river, I can't stop it.
Well, I'm thrilled. I mean, because I want to be along beside you as this river flows out. You are so full of what God is doing in your own heart now, and you have to, and that's with all of us. We need to allow God to overflow what He's putting in our hearts day by day, and that is kingdom living. It's not, well, I'm going to build my little kingdom over here or there or yours or mine, but it's about His kingdom. And there's no peace, greater peace that comes, and no greater love expressed than when we allow God to walk ahead of us as the shepherd, and we walk in His footprints.
And to me, I get a choice every day, Betty, with if I walk through a hard circumstance, I can either let how I feel about that be the plumb line, or I can let the Word of God be the plumb line. So when the Word of God says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose, sometimes we think, well, this is not good. How can this be good? It doesn't say that all things will feel good, but it says that if we're committed to God, but if we're committed to God and His kingdom, He has promised that out of the worst circumstances in life, He will mine treasure for His kingdom.
Absolutely. Sheila, when you and I were talking about your book, and it's absolutely fabulous, you said you wanted to touch on hope and home, and I've preached up a lot of the time. So please don't write me an unkind letter. I don't think I can take it. Listen, you want to touch on home, you want to touch on hope in the last part of this program.
You know, James, even as you were talking, the thing that really I'm compelled by most is when Paul wrote, Romans chapter 8, it's got to be one of the greatest chapters in the whole New Testament. Begins with no separation, no condemnation. Ends with no separation. There's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, none, because of what Jesus has done. Then ends with no separation. And Paul talks about that there's no circumstance in life. He addresses the superstitions of the day with the Romans when he says, nor height nor depth, those were astrological terms.
Wow.
They all believed every man or woman is born under a star. So height is when the stars are at zenith and it's most powerful over you. Depth is when it's rising. Paul is saying, no superstition, nothing, 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 nothing.
Nothing.
Well, ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And it's not a case of waiting till you get home. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place, and you're going to be amazed when you see it. But we walk with them today. You know, I love when Christ called, just before Christ called Lazarus out of the tomb, he did a kind of unusual prayer as people were listening in. He did a, Father, as we've already talked about, kind of prayer, which indicated prayer to Jesus wasn't something he did. It's who he was. I think it's a shame we call it prayer. I wish we called it breathing. Because
that's what it is.
It's the way that Jesus lived. He was constantly talking to his
Absolutely.
Father, moment by moment, day by day, asking, God, give me your eyes to see this. Give me your ears to hear this. And that's, to me, the way that the privilege we have of living under the shelter of God's promises, because he won't lie. Whatever he says, I can. I gave my life to Christ when I was 11. I'm now 54. There's no book in this world that influences me more on a daily basis than the Word of God. It
Absolutely.
Is life-changing.
Absolutely.
Life-changing.
And you said it. You know, I've been writing. By the way, you can go to lifetoday.org, and you can see where we have Words of Life every week, but you can also see over to the right from James Robinson. I write every week a commentary where I try to deal with issues about which we should prayerfully focus our concern and that we should pray about. And I talk about kingdom life, and I've been writing a lot on that. The blind dog helped me see kingdom coming in an office depot or office supply while I'm walking through it. You ought to read that. You can scroll back through. Go to jamesrobinson.net. But as I was thinking about what you were just saying, I really believe we can live in a continual conversation with God.
Absolutely.
And I wrote about the fact that you can just breathe in. It's if you recognize the kingdom presence, you have oxygen here. You've taken it for granted, but you breathe it in to live, and it gives you strength and energy. If we'll recognize kingdom presence, that He is with us in whatever storm, in whatever situation, and we can breathe in the reality of that peace and that grace and that all-sufficient one in whatever trial, height or depth, whatever's trying to separate us, it can't separate us from the love of God. That love is around us atmospherically in kingdom reality as surely as the oxygen we breathe. I really believe that this is so critical for people to understand that, because once you're aware of that, I mean, you don't really think about air, but if you'll think about the kingdom being here, suddenly you'll become aware of its presence, and it begins to affect everything we do. And I think you're seeing that continually.
And I think one of the things that holds people back is they think, well, that's fine for you. You're James and Betty. You've been doing this for years. You know, God loves you. What about me? You don't know my story. And I think of that woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, who wanted to reach out and just touch the edge of Jesus' garment. And she did that, and she's immediately healed. But Jesus stops and says, who touched me? Now, he's in a Super Bowl football crowd. I mean, he's surrounded by people, but he felt power leave him. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't identify her. He doesn't shame her, because she shouldn't have been there. She was unclean. But Jesus gives her a moment and says, who touched me? And the thing that I think is amazing is that she comes and she falls at his feet and she tells him her whole story. Mm. And I think, how many believers have ever told God their whole story?
Wow.
Because it's not just healing she needed. She needed the presence of Christ. She needed relationship. So when he says, daughter, your faith has healed you, go in peace. She went in peace because she'd come face to face with Jesus, not because the bleeding stopped.
And that was the greater healing. That was the healing. You see, a lot of times you can have a disease healed but not have the person. A withered hand can be healed without a withered life being healed. And the greater is the healing of the life, but he is healer still. Listen, some of you are saying, I'm like her. I just want to touch you. Mark, go ahead. He's right where you are. Just say, Jesus, touch me today. I want to touch you. I want you to transform my life, whatever the need. But then understand what Sheila just said. Jesus is saying, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I know you. You're no longer a certain woman in a crowd. That's the way the passage starts in Mark 5, a certain woman. He said to her, when she said, I touched you, daughter, daughter, go in peace. No longer just a woman overlooked and forgotten in the crowd. Wherever you are, just say, Jesus, transform and change my life. I yield a broken heart, a broken life to you. All of it. All of it. I want to become the field that you grow the greatest fruit. I want to be rooted and grounded in your love, in your truth. And by the way, when you're rooted and grounded there, and you receive the light of His presence and the Word, His truth, you don't strain to bear fruit any more than a flower strains to have a blossom. It just flowers. It's the nature. The root produces the fruit. Just touch Him. Receive Him. Would you say thanks to Sheila for sharing with us? Sheila, you're a tremendous blessing. In the shelters, in the bookstores, incredible Bible study with it. It's just awesome. And love for you to get it. Betty, we are so excited because our viewers help us help others. I want you to listen to a missionary talk about his little boy and about his country, his continent, and how he doesn't want to see children die. And he compares it to the love for his own little son. You can be the answer to that prayer. Yes, you can be. I've often said, if you want your prayers answered, seek to be an answer to someone else's prayer. You can be. Watch.
My dream is that I can travel around my continent, the continent of Africa, and not see children dying anymore. These children are reaching out to us. They're counting on us. They're relying on us. My little boy, he reaches out and grabs my face the same way. He looks at me with different eyes, though, because he... When he grabs my face, there's a look of life in his eyes. There's an expectation and an anticipation of what life's going to be, of everything that he can be. You see it, you sense it, you feel it. When Augusto reaches out to me, what I see is a hand that says, please, just do something. I'm asking you to give Augusto the opportunity that my little Peter has. At 11 months old, to be a child that is not suffering the battle of life and death simply because they were born in the wrong place at the wrong time. Please, you can do it. I know you can, and I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart. Help us save this life and help us save the tens of thousands of lives that Augusto represents. Because life begins here. Life begins with mission feeding.
Well, I know, Isak, you're overseeing with your dad, Peter Pretorius, the work there. But I well remember when you came right here to the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and I looked out at you as a young man, a rugby player, likely to be a professional athlete in your home country of South Africa. And I said, you're a very special young man. And you can deliver God's message and God's love. And boy, have you ever, because you left everything to love the people on your continent in Africa. And you love your little boy and your daughter and your family. You want to stop burying the children on your continent. Isak, thank you. The viewers of Life Today in Australia, in the United Kingdom, Canada, and the U.S., and everywhere they're watching, I believe they're going to be putting their hand up toward God, and so I'm going to be an answer to that heart cry. I want to rescue those children. I saw that little fellow reach out and take your finger. God wants him to take his hand. We are his hands. We're his body. I don't think they see him high and lifted up like they should, but they can. And we lift him up by expressing his love. We release the river of his love in life, and life springs up. I'm asking you to reach out and touch someone with love by dialing a number that you could always call if you want someone to pray with you. Many have already called today to say, I touched Jesus today. I'm getting help. Many have said, I'm giving my life to Christ today. But I'm asking you to reach out and touch someone with love and say, I want to make a gift. Did you know that with $100, we can feed 10 children for the next several months? Did you know with 50, we can feed 5? With 30, we can feed 3? I don't think there's a person watching that couldn't say, hey, I'll take 3 or 5. And I want you to know, I'm always going to ask you, if you can, put arms around 10 children or more. If you've been blessed of God where you could help several hundred children, do it. Betty and I try to do that. We ask God to let us do that. And as we sought to bless others, and we are so blessed, we take such joy in blessing others and inspiring people to bless others. Would you do that? Would you move right now to the phone? Would you take your bank card and use it like a check? Please do it. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, you can make that special gift right now. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. Please do it. We want to send you an incredible teaching series, God's Kingdom in You. Living in His presence in the present. Seeing the power of God here now, not just waiting to go there to be with Him. When He comes in glory, it's wonderful. Let His glory come on us now and release His love. Would you do that? We want to send you a series that will mightily bless you. Please make that call. If you get busy, you be persistent and determined. And you say, I'm going to get through to be an answer to someone's prayer and an answer to someone's need. You can be. Thank you for it.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 500,000 children throughout remote areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Southern Africa facing its worst conditions and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the God's Kingdom in You audio series and companion scripture guide. James and Betty Robison, along with Beth Moore, inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. With your gift of $125 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request both the video DVD and audio series with scripture guide. As a bonus, we'll also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, and be sure to request the beautiful new Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online.
I really am anxious to send you God's Kingdom in You. You know, I've been around a long time. I've been preaching nearly 50 years. Betty and I have been married a little over 48 years, and we're in love with Jesus and one another. But I'm going to tell you what God has shown me about kingdom reality. Not reduced to future reward, but present reality with personal responsibility and the presence of God. I'm telling you, it's going to bless you. Beth Moore, Betty and I sharing this. The Supernatural Skyline, one of my friends, this is the gentleman that really awakened me to the fullness of the kingdom reality. I'm telling you, it's an exciting understanding. And we'll gladly send you, if you'd like to have Sheila's book, The Shelter of God's Promises, that's part of kingdom life. So we want to bless you. You ask for this, and thank you for helping us rescue others. Join with us, those of you here, saying thanks to Sheila. We love you, Sheila. Thank you so much for being with us. Christian, thanks for your help, buddy. By the way, teenagers can keep helping too now. I know you got a lot of things on your mind. Don't forget it over here. I thank all of you so much. Thank you for watching life today. Thank you for sharing life. Hopefully every day, somewhere.
I wonder, wouldn't it be something if we got glad about the good news?
Tomorrow, God's kingdom purpose for you.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.